This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, made it to a Thursday. It's hour one. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. And look who's back from jury duty. Marvin.
Yay!
Did you get picked?
I did not.
Okay, isn't it weird that there are certain things that you don't want to do, but then when you don't get asked to do them, you're like, well, wait, why didn't I get invited to the party that I didn't want to go to? Yeah, Marv.
It was so uneventful. I didn't even get questioned at all. I just sat in the room, and they called two groups of people, and we sat there for another 3 hours, and the lady came back and was like, all right, guys, you're all excused. See you in 3 years.
Okay.
I was like, oh, all right.
Okay. But you did your community service there. You did your duty.
I did
to your country, your civic duty.
That's right.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
We're all proud of you. Yes, Paulie.
But Marv would have been great on the jury. He's likable. He's easy to talk to. He seems pretty level-headed from what I know about him. He would have been perfect on the jury. Right? Marv, you would have done great.
But are you now bothered that you weren't picked to be on the jury?
A little bit. Not even that I wasn't even questioned. Not even picked. Because I'm not sure if I wanted to be picked. Because you know what would have happened? I would have said, oh, my goodness. Herman threw that no-hitter. That would have been perfect for play of the day. I would have had the Spanish call ready. Uh-huh. It would have been stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm dedicated to the job.
I still think if you would have worn one of our T-shirts, that would have guaranteed you never would have been. If you said, I can feel it in my plums, or you did the ? T-shirt that we have, I thought that that would probably eliminate you.
In 3 years, I'm wearing it.
Okay. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. It was the wrong guy at the wrong time in the wrong place. It was Domingo Herman who threw a perfect game. He's the wrong guy. That's the guy who was suspended a couple of years ago for domestic violence, 81 games. Also suspended earlier this year for the sticky stuff, but he threw a perfect game. He threw it late last night. East Coast couldn't even take advantage of this if you're a Yankee fan. In the wrong place, it was against the Oakland A's in Oakland. Other than that, he's in the history books. 24 pitchers who have thrown a perfect game. Here's your over-under today. Over-under the number of pitchers who have thrown a perfect game who are in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to set the over-under at 5.5. Todd, you want to go over-under 5.5. Of the 24 pitchers, how many are Hall of Famers?
I'm feeling that's going to be an under.
Under. All right. Seton O'Connor.
I'm going to say under, too.
All right. Marvin?
Under.
All right. Paulie?
I'm leaning under. It seems more like a good pitcher can get lucky one night.
Well, I think there's luck that goes into having a perfect game. There has to be skill, obviously, but there has to be luck as well. 8 of the 24 pitchers who have thrown a perfect game are in the Hall of Fame.
Stat of the day.
Melissa Etheridge doing the honors. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading card to the Dan Patrick Show. By the way, if you're watching on Peacock, thank you. That's our streaming partner. Download the app. Also, say good morning to our radio affiliates around the country and those chatting on Chat Row. Operator Tyler standing by to take your phone calls on this Thursday, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. All right. Here are the Hall of Famers who have thrown perfect games. Cy Young. Randy Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jim Bunning. He became a politician in Kentucky after he retired. Catfish Hunter. Roy Halladay. Sandy Koufax. John Ward. Addie Joss. Those are old guys. But those are your Hall of Fame pitchers who have thrown perfect games. Now, you have other pitchers in there who are really good. Kenny Rogers won 200 games. Mark Burley won 200 games. David Wells won 239 games. Dennis Martinez, 245 games. Felix Hernandez was a great pitcher. David Cone won 194 games. Tom Browning in there. Don Larson, he had a losing record, 81-91, but he had the perfect game in the World Series. And Dallas Braden in there. I remember Philip Humber. Wasn't he with the White Sox when he threw a perfect game? That might have been in the afternoon. I remember having him on the show. He won 16 games in his career. So one out of every 16 games he pitched that he had a decision he threw, or that he won, he threw a perfect game. He only threw one perfect game, but one out of every 16. Yes, Paul.
Two things stand out about this list. Three of the people who had perfect games we had on the show the next day. Randy Johnson, he insisted with the Diamondbacks that he come on with his catcher, Robbie Hammack.
Mm-hmm.
He would only come on because of that. We had Roy Halladay on after he had his, and we had Humber on after he had his.
Yeah.
That's pretty wild. If you look at this list you sent around, it looks like it's more skill than luck because the bottom seven or eight guys are decent pitchers.
Yeah.
But the first two-thirds are really good or really great pitchers.
Yeah, you have Charlie Robertson, Lee Richmond, Matt Cain, Mike Witt, Dallas Braden. These are average pitchers, some below average. There is luck. You know, it's skill to get to the major leagues. We know that. It's skill to throw a no-hitter. It's luck with a perfect game. Because Now you really rely on everybody else. If the pitcher could have great stuff, you ground it to third and all of a sudden he boots it or he short hops it, then all of a sudden there's no perfect game there. But the skill to be able to put yourself in a position for a perfect game, you need a little bit of luck there. And probably had a couple of calls last night where went his way. I don't know what the umpire feels. Like, when does he feel like, you know, I'm part of history here? Or do I allow a little bit more leeway here on a call? I don't know if it enters your psyche. I don't know, consciously, subconsciously, if you're like, God, I don't want to be the reason why he loses a perfect game. Yes, Tom.
It would totally affect me. If it's late in the game and he's got a perfect game and it's really a borderline call, I would probably give him the strike.
Yeah, I can't do that. Can't.
You run a tight ship, Dan.
Yes, I do. You know, you can't have an Eric Gregg strike zone where you're like, wait, that was 4 feet outside. Look good to me. Come on, let's go. Get back there and there in the batter's box. Addie Joss recorded a perfect game, and he needed just 74 pitches.
That's ridiculous.
Thank you, Todd. Yeah, so 74 pitches for the perfect game. Yes, yes, Marv.
You don't want to be Jim Joyce.
No, you don't. You don't want to have somebody go, oh, Jim Joyce, and then people go, oh, yeah, didn't he cost the Tiger pitcher a perfect game with that bad call?
That was one of the worst, like, two or three days I can remember, just as, like, the humanity of it, watching Jim Joyce. And then, you know, that next game, they had him come out, and they did, like, a whole thing, and
he was
sobbing.
Okay, but isn't it interesting? We remember the umpire. Do we remember the pitcher?
Man, I could see his face. I could see that smile as soon as he said, safe.
Yeah, pulling.
June 2nd, 2010, Joyce made an incorrect call at the first base umpire, which cost Armando Galarraga of the Detroit Tigers his perfect game.
But we remember, and then they brought them together, like this photo op, Like, hey, come on, guys, get together and, you know, forgive the umpire here. He cost you a perfect game. And it's not one of those calls where you go, man, I, you know, could have gone either way. It's like, oh, no. No, that's terrible. Yes, Todd.
Can you imagine, though, it's like one, two outs in the ninth inning and it's a full count and there's a pitch right around the corner and you actually call it ball four when it was just close enough? How do you not wink at that and punch the guy out and call it a
well,
perfect game?
Because at what point do you say, all right, now I can change what my strike zone is? Like, what's the context here? If it's a perfect game, do you do it? If it's a no-hitter, do you do it? Like, if it's close, then...
Batter should have swung.
Yeah, make the call. You know, and I would even say that. If I was the umpire, and let's say there was, you know, final out, I'd say, hey, you know, I'm calling it just like it's any other inning, any other day. I'm just letting you know. I'd let them know. There's no leniency here. But I'm not going to go out of my way to go, you know what? He's out. And you're like, wait, he was safe by 5 feet. Nope, he's out. Perfect game. Everybody celebrate.
And imagine if it's a home game like in Philly or Boston or Yankee Stadium, two outs in the ninth, perfect game, and you call that ball four.
Let's play Guess the Attendance last night in Oakland.
I have a screen cap. I'm counting heads.
Oh, you're counting the people who are there.
We have it, so yes.
Okay, all right. Give me an over-under, Paulie.
I'm going to play closest to the hole. I'm going to really test you guys.
Oh, wow.
Closest to the hole.
Okay.
Reported attendance.
This is the team with the worst attendance in baseball. Let's play Guess the Number of People Who Were There Last Night for the Perfect Game. Todd?
Because the Yankees were in town, I'm going to go 8672.
It did sound like there was an actual crowd there last night. Here's the final call. Is this the Spanish version of the Perfect Game last night?
Herman de frente. Lanza. Swing. Rolandazo duro. Daron se la tiene. Daron se la primera. Perfección. Domingo Germán. San Pedro de Macorís. República Dominicana. El cero en el uniforme. Y ese es el total que se le pasaron. Cero. Cero. Perfección. Perfecto. Domingo Perfecto.
That's courtesy of WADO. Now, it sounds like there's a crowd there. Must have been a lot of Yankee fans in town. All right, so Todd has his number. Seton, over or, oh, no, you have to pick the number. No over-under.
I'm going to go, actually, I'm going to go 10-5.
10-5.
Yeah.
10-5 touchdown. Marvin?
I'm going to say it was a packed house for Oakland. I'm going to say 15-6.
Wow.
Crazy.
I'm going to go 9-8-7-6. Oh, this is so good. So nervous.
And air quotes reported attendance of 12,479.
Damn. Okay.
Right. Wowzers.
That's a big crowd there.
Yankees travel.
Yeah.
Free beer night or something.
Well, I wonder what the commissioner of baseball thought of that crowd. Too soon there? Too soon for that? Yeah, yeah.
So once that's out of context anyway.
So once again, I know. I don't know what context that you could have put that in where it didn't sound like a slight to the Oakland A's. Oh, yeah, that's a nice little average crowd for any baseball team.
That's how many parking attendants we have in the Bronx.
So wrong guy at the wrong time of the night and against the wrong team.
We could rain on any for
yeah, I know. Congratulations on your perfect game, Domingo Germán. Not a, you know, he just got suspended 10 games for the sticky stuff. His last start gave up 8 earned runs. I don't know. Maybe we could find out from our research department the worst performance leading up to a perfect game. We'll see if our research guy, John Tuvey, can help us with that.
That was a whole plan for Germán. He was lulling to a false sense of security with that 8-run outing last week.
Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome at the end of your first year. They automatically double all the cash back you've earned. So that's trips and restaurants all doubled. See terms and check it out for yourself. Discover.com/match. Poll question today, Seton. What do we have?
Well, Dan, we already put up there, is a perfect game more skill or luck? So we'll run with that for a little bit. The toddler sent over a couple of his snarky poll question actual statements, though.
How about we hold... I know. Todd always gives you what he really feels about a topic. Yeah, see.
I don't mind that as a vehicle to Todd's insights. You know, if he's going to ask it as a question and the question is actually giving you his thoughts on how he feels about it, I think it's all right.
There's so many yes or no poll questions. I tend to maybe go a little too far with the elaboration of the choices, but it's all in good fun.
All right. Well, thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
We look forward to that. 877-3DP show. Tyler standing by to take your phone calls. The NHL draft last night, Connor Bedard, 17 years of age, and he looks like he's 17 years of age. He's going to the Blackhawks. That was about it. I think people tuned in to go, all right, let me see what the kid looks like. And there he is. And now I watched probably the first 40 minutes of it, and they were trying to make it a bigger thing than what it was. Here's a problem. You can't invite the entire team on stage, the entire front office. You know, you probably had the secretary to the president who was up there. It's like 15 people up there with a photo op. Keep it moving. Let's go. I don't need photo ops up there. Take a photo op when he comes to your town.
Like a shift change. They should run up and just go right off.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody should have been hitting their stick on the ice. You know, like, come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Get off the ice. But Connor Bedard is going to the Blackhawks. The Mets owner, Steve Cohen, addressed the fans. He was with the media yesterday. We'll talk about that as well. And sources, close to sources, have the official height of Victor Wembanyama. Okay, are you more interested in how tall he is or how much he weighs? Because everybody talks about he's going to have to bulk up. Nobody says he's got to get taller or he's too tall. It's he's going to have to bulk up.
Got to fill out.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. He's okay.
Do you have the...
No, I don't have
his... Oh, you don't have his official...
No.
What are we going to do?
No, there's a source that has how tall he is. So they haven't made it official. And now what they're doing, they're measuring you without shoes on to get your official height. We'll talk about that coming up. I did not know that. And nobody plays barefoot, but I guess they're, you know, you have lifts? Are there certain shoes that make you a half inch tall? And who cares?
You might have an insole in one for comfort.
Remember, Tom Cruise reportedly had some lifts in his shoes to make him a little bit. Sources close to me tell me.
Careful.
Yeah, I don't know. He saved the movie industry. I'm looking forward to. Okay, here's another topic that came up earlier. Do you go see the Barbie movie? Yeah. Do you go, Marvin, did you know there's a Barbie movie?
I did.
Okay. Ryan Gosling.
Yep. Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie.
Yep.
Yes.
I got to admit, when I see like the...
Save it.
Okay.
Yeah, save it. I got to take a break here.
Okay.
I mean, these are all important questions that we're going to try to answer for you.
Barbie movie.
Today. Let's take a break. We're just getting started here. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow,
you
know, I never even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Talk some football. Dan Graziano, ESPN National NFL Insider, also hosting NFL Live today at 4 Eastern, joining us here in the Man Cave. Look at that. Hosting, that? Hosting.
Whatever they need.
Yeah?
That's my credo.
Okay, but the difference of being an analyst, yeah, and now all of a sudden you're the host who has to tee up the analyst.
Yeah, it depends on the show. Like when I'm hosting Get Up, that's a lot more sort of conversational. Like, you know, you can kind of, I think NFL Live, just the way it's structured right now, just the format of the show, is a little more sort of station to station. Sort of, you know, tee up the analyst and then maybe one will follow the other, that kind of thing. So just, you know, it really does depend on the show. And I think, you know, Live's fun. I mean, it's good. I do enjoy it. There's no question about it. But Get Up has been where I've spent most of my time the last couple of years. And it just kind of, you know, you maybe just feel more comfortable where you spend more time. So.
Yeah, you're in the same area. You just move over a seat or two, and then
exactly.
Next thing you know, you're asking questions.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, I think if you do the show enough, you have a feeling. Like, if we're going to move you over to this chair today, well, you have a sense of what you would want to be asked and how you would want to be involved in the conversation if someone else was hosting. So, yeah, for sure.
The big headline, or at least waiting to be a big headline, is the suspensions for gambling with the NFL. Why is it vague on the NFL's part of who can, who can't, where you can, where you can't? Why not just make it a blanket? Nobody is allowed to gamble.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not vague. It's spelled out, but it is complex, right? Like if you're a player, you're allowed to bet on other sports. If you're a coach or a front office executive, you're not, right? So why are players allowed? It wasn't collectively bargained. It's not because of the union. So why are players allowed to bet on other sports? Why are you allowed to bet from home but not at the team facility or on the team bus or in the team hotel? So it is all spelled out. It hasn't changed in at least 5 years. I mean, the most updated gambling policy is from 2018, and it's the same as it was then. So, I think the league has found – I think the league and the union thought it was all more obvious than it turned out to be. And I think that's why there's been a little more of a re-education effort here over the last couple of months, because they don't want to be suspending people for the whole year. I mean, that, you know, that's lousy for the game. So, I have not heard any talk about amending or reforming the gambling policy, but they do want to make it clearer to the players what is and isn't allowed.
And you're talking about maybe year-long suspensions here. I don't know if they brought Calvin Ridley to the rookie symposium. I mean, they had Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Calvin Ridley would resonate.
Oh, you mean this last one?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because that guy lost $11 million betting $1,500.
That's what I mean, when the other suspensions hit a few months ago, the Detroit Lions once, like Calvin Ridley just happened. Like, how can this not be fresh in your mind? You know Calvin Ridley is a big enough name. That did not get ignored. And everybody knows he got suspended for a whole year. So, it's alarming for sure. And I do think the league has started to kind of get out there and try and get in front of these guys and say, here's the rules in case you didn't already know. But I remember talking to the players union after the Lions suspensions came down. You know, do you feel like you guys are doing... Yes, we are doing enough. We talk to these guys multiple times a year. We lay it out. These guys are not doing this because they don't know the policy. They're doing it because they thought they'd get away with it. So that's the perspective from the people who are in charge.
Well, wait until it's a quarterback.
Right?
Because these are guys who are on the periphery. You know, they're the backup linebacker, kick returner. You know, you get a quarterback in there, now all of a sudden... Remember when Tony Romo wanted to have a...
Oh, the fantasy thing in Vegas? But that was right before this sort of tidal wave of, like, you know, a legalized gambling state by state, and also sort of the NFL's embrace of...
Before the NFL realized how much money they were going to make on this. Is the NFL hypocritical?
How so?
In handing out punishment?
While making money off of gambling? Yeah, I think it's important that you police your players and your personnel in terms of their gambling habits, because you do not want to go down that road of... inside information, right? And now you have these guys might have an advantage, and that might affect other people's ability to gamble and make money. So I think it's fair to hold the people that work in the NFL and play in the NFL to a little bit of a higher standard, right, than the people you're advertising to, right? If you're using gambling, so okay. I do think there is reason and incentive for the league to take a little bit of a stronger stance with their own personnel. Than they would expect from the general public that's consuming their advertising.
Dan Graziano, ESPN National, NFL Insider, hosting NFL Live today at 4 Eastern. I don't know how well you know the makeup of this Jets team now. I know covering them for a long, long time in the New York media, but you bring in Aaron Rodgers, and you got a young team. Expectation level is really high.
Yeah.
So they're not a curiosity, cute story. Now it's your playoffs and, you know, maybe deep in. How does Hard Knocks affect that?
I always feel like teams are overreacting when they don't want to do Hard Knocks. Because I've been to training camps where there's been Hard Knocks, and there's more cameras, right? Like, but it's not, they're not like, there's not a camera right over you as you're trying to catch the ball in practice. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's as big a deal. I think it's about teams and, you know, coaches and front offices wanting to sort of control the flow of news, right? Which, you know, and now you're like, well, we have cameras here. Something might get out that we otherwise might not have wanted to, even though I'm sure they have total approval.
They do. They have total control.
So I just think it's a matter of this is one other thing we don't want to have to deal with. It takes away time from what, but I do not believe it matters that much. The Lions last year went all in. I mean, you could tell they were loving every second of it, and they had.
But that's the coach who embraced it.
Yes,
I mean that's the difference.
But that's a difference.
And they didn't have a star player like Aaron Rodgers,
right?
Who might go, nah.
Who, by the way, is liable to maybe say something non-football related that makes news, right? Yeah. And so, I think that is a little bit of a concern for them. I don't know that it needs to be. The Lions had a fine season last year. I mean, they were this close to making the playoffs. I don't think there's a correlation between doing Hard Knocks and having a disappointing season. I think the Jets will be fine if that's how it ends up.
Are you all in on the Jets here?
The Jets have decided that they were Aaron Rodgers away from being a Super Bowl contending team, right? They went 7-10 last year with quarterback play that was not just bad, was actively harmful to their chances of winning the games, right? So if you have a guy in who's just competent, you could see getting to 9-10 wins. If you have Aaron Rodgers playing at the MVP level he was at 2-3 years ago, you could see getting to 13 wins, right? So I think my question is, are they right? Are they right about how good their roster already was, absent Aaron Rodgers or a competent quarterback? The tackle situation is a little bit concerning because they're counting on guys that haven't been available. Mekhi Becton was a top 10 pick. If he plays like that, they're probably going to be great. But he's only played one game the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So that there are question marks about it. And Rodgers is 39. Like, it's not, you know, he shows up to OTAs and he pulls a calf muscle on the first day. I don't think that's going to continue to bother him into the season, but it's an alarm bell. Right? Like, it reminds you that the guy we just brought in is not 25 years old. Like, he might be more liable to get hurt. We might have to be more careful with him. So all in that conference, in that division. I can't get all the way there on the Jets, but I do expect them to be a good team.
It's weird that I thought that they overachieved while underachieving greatly at the quarterbacking position.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that they weren't a seven-win team, but they won seven games, and they did that in spite of their quarterback. But I thought the other players sort of overachieved just a little bit. So it was a weird feeling that I had with them. Not that, man, imagine if they had a competent quarterback. I mean, they may be a 10-win team here.
They may be. I mean, they may also, like, everything breaks right, and he plays out of his mind, and Becton plays 17 games and looks like a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
You know, they have the offensive rookie of the year. They have the defensive rookie of the year. They get Quinnen Williams' contract figured out. I mean, their defense does look really good, so there's reason to be optimistic. I just think that the AFC is just going to be, you know, like a knife fight. Like, I mean, there's so many good teams. There's so many great quarterbacks. Like, I just don't know that in the AFC East, that's going to produce a 12-13 win team, given how good everybody is.
Are you more sold on the Eagles repeating or the Niners repeating their success?
Well, I have to say the Niners, because no one has repeated as NFC East champion in 19 years, right? Like, that is, and when my first job at ESPN was the NFC East blogger. Remember, they had division bloggers? So, I mean, I've lived it. I've seen it. Weird stuff happens. Like, a couple, you go back, was it 3 years ago? The Eagles were defending champions. Everything looked good. Carson Wentz was real. Like, Carson Wentz forgot how to play football. Like, the Eagles just bottomed out. That was the year that Washington won it at 7-9. And there was no reason for the Eagles not to repeat. But, like, dark forces are at work in the NFC East that prevent it from happening. So I can't, in good conscience, knowing this, predict an Eagles repeat. I don't have another good reason not to, but something always happens. I'm telling you, something always happens. They laugh at me when I say it on shows, and then at the end of the year, Dan was right again. It's weird. I don't know. I mean, I'm supposed to be able to break it down and tell you, like, something's weird in the NFC East.
Yeah, you're too measured. You got to have hot takes. You know, what's wrong with you?
Dark forces at work is not a hot enough. I thought that was pretty good. I'm not hearing that everywhere else. Eagles were what? They were healthy last year. You don't get necessarily the same injury luck year over year. You know, I don't know. The Cowboys are probably good. I don't know. Something will happen. I'm telling you.
Yeah. It just feels like the NFC is top heavy, whereas the AFC
top heavy,
a little fuller.
You say Eagles, Niners. I think not enough people are paying attention to Seattle. I think Seattle might have a really good team this year. I don't think what Geno Smith did was necessarily a fluke.
Yeah.
I think he's that kind of player now, and what they have around him looks really, really good. And then, you know, with the other two divisions, I mean, everyone's going to pick the Lions to win the North. The last time the Lions won their division was 1993. Like, let's see it, right? Like, I believe they're good. I think they'll be good, but boy, oh boy, like, that's a lot of losing that they've done. So if the culture has really turned around under Campbell, they look like they should be the favorites there. And you can, you know, flip a four-sided coin in the NFC South.
Covering the New York media, you know, we all have, like, scars, horror stories. Do you have one that sticks out, that a moment, incident, run-in that you had?
In New York?
Yeah.
Probably. I was just telling Paul, I was at that Mike Mussina game in Fenway Park, where he was a strike away from a perfect game. That was a Sunday night baseball game.
Yes.
Like, we're writing for newspapers. Like, you had the game story written. It was Mike Mussina throws a perfect game, and you had to file it as soon as it ended. Now all of a sudden there's a guy on base. It's 1-0. They could lose. Like, that was wild. So baseball writing was just crazy. Like, from that standpoint. In terms of a horror story,
but you weren't running into
badly.
You weren't running into crazy Yankee managers like I was.
No, we had Torrey. I mean, Torrey was very measured. Yeah, he yelled at me one time. It was so we had these fights about access. You know, I was involved in the New York baseball writers chapter, and, you know, teams were closing the clubhouses for meetings at times that were supposed to be media access times. And at one point, I sent a letter to the commissioner's office about Torrey doing it too many times. And he came storming out the next day into the dock. Did you send a letter? Dropping F-bombs all over the place. Did you send a letter? In other words, I don't give you guys enough bleeping time out here every single day, blah, blah. And it was intense. And I was like, Joe, it's a clerical matter. If there's a stack of letters like this on the commissioner's desk at the end of the year about you closing the clubhouse, you're going to hear from him. If it's one letter, you're not. We got to make sure and log it. And he got it, like, instantly. Like, I saw his face change. Like, all right, that makes sense. Next time, can you talk to me first? Sure, no problem, Joe. But he still kept doing it.
I remember going out there, and Billy Martin was the manager.
Well, that's a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd smell alcohol in his breath.
Yeah. Very different time.
Yes. And I was there when he got fired. I was there when he got rehired. I was there Mattingly's rookie season.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're just, and I'm a kid from a small town in Ohio. Next thing I know, I'm at Yankee Stadium, and, you know, we're getting yelled at for walking on the grass.
Yes.
Like, you couldn't walk on the grass during BP.
Yeah.
You had to stay off the grass that Steinbrenner had, would have guys. I don't know if they had rifles, but it felt like they
probably
were, they were watching.
But I'm sure he, in a meeting, Steinbrenner asked, like, could we have rifles? And was told no. You know, I think, I mean, my best manager stories are Jim Leland when I covered the Marlins down in Florida, like the 97-98 Marlins. Like, he was, I mean, he was, because he went down there, signed a 5-year contract, everything was good. Halfway through the year, they told him, like, at the end of the year, we're going to sell the team and trade everybody. So he sent his family back home. He slept in his office. He drank like a fish. Like, it was just, and he was just, you know, all over the map emotionally about it. And they won the World Series.
They ended up winning
the World Series. Yeah, he was a character, man.
The Bills situation.
Yeah.
Bringing it back to football
sure.
With Sean McDermott.
Yeah.
Getting a contract extension.
Mm-hmm.
What if they bow out early?
Well, I think the belief they have in McDermott as the guy who's kind of helped build what they have now, right? I mean, you remember what the Bills were, right? When McDermott got there, they hadn't been to the playoffs in 17 years in a league where there's 5 new playoff teams every year. Yes. The Bills had gone 17 years. So the fact that he's now a regular in the playoffs shows you that he's put something together that they obviously have a lot of belief in and faith in and a lot of gratitude for. So, no, I think, look, I don't think he's a coach that is a bad season away from the hot seat. I think he's seen as a guy that you know, I mean, it was him that brought Brandon Bean in. Like McDermott has a lot of sway over what goes on there. So, yeah, I think it would have to be, they'd have to fall on some pretty hard times in order for him to end up in trouble.
It just felt like that the last 2 years, there was so much pressure that Josh Allen was taking the next step and the Bills mm-hmm. were taking the next step. And I just thought they were putting too much pressure on him.
Yeah.
And asking him to do much because I thought they were one dimensional.
Yeah.
And
offensively, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No running game.
And then Daboll leaves.
Yes.
To go to the Giants. So Ken Dorsey, his first year as offensive coordinator, is a disappointment. So he's feeling some heat.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they're, you know, I think they're still really good, right? But what are they going to be offensively? Obviously, Stephon Diggs is a little annoyed about some things that went on in the offense last year and wants to see it be different. But, yeah, it's an important year for Dorsey. It's an important year for Allen. They are in a window right now where they should be competing for Super Bowl titles, and they haven't gotten to one yet.
Does anything change with the running back position on how the running back position can get paid financially?
I don't think so, because nothing's going to change in terms of, you know, the wear and tear those guys endure. Nothing's going to change in terms of looking at replaceability. The Chiefs just won the Super Bowl with a 7th-round rookie at running back. I mean, and you see that all the time, right? You can find production at running back in the later rounds. I think what's going to change, you see these two guys that went in the first round this year, Robinson to Atlanta and Gibbs to Detroit. I think you're going to see the way they're used be important, right? Like, they're going to be all over the field. They're going to be lined up. They're going to catch the ball. Like, they're going to be third down weapons, that kind of thing. So maybe you get to a point where a guy pops and he is a Christian McCaffrey type, right? In terms of how he's used, not necessarily as good as McCaffrey, but in terms of how he's used. And then maybe that guy gets paid. But the grind it out between the tackles, running back, the Derrick Henry style guy, first of all, there aren't many of them anyway. And second of all, I just don't think teams want to invest because they don't last. And because you can find guys that can do it for a lot cheaper all the time. So, no, what could change would be if they reduced the length of rookie contracts from 4 years to 3. That would help running backs, I think. But, you know, the next CBA is 7 years away. So I don't see that happening anytime soon that would help any of these current guys.
And it feels like you got to be a hybrid. You have to have one player who does two things. Mm-hmm. That it has to be Christian McCaffrey, Alvin mm-hmm. Kamara, Debo Samuel. Like, can you do a couple of things? But the days of being a battering ram, it feels like those are over. Derrick Henry's going to be, we're going to look back on Derrick Henry and go, man, he was a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Almost like Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. But special and unique, right? Yeah. Like, there were not other Adrian Petersons running around at the time that he was doing it. There aren't other Derrick Henrys, right? You see guys, you know, Saquon Barkley's involved in the passing game. you know, there are guys that are leaned on more than others, but no one's doing what the Titans have done with Derrick Henry in terms of usage.
But explain to me, the Giants were negotiating against themselves with Daniel Jones.
Yes.
Why not just franchise? No, nobody was going to trade for Daniel Jones or give up two first-round picks for Daniel Jones. And they paid more for him. They could have used that money for Saquon Barkley. Then, you know, you could keep everybody happy because Daniel Jones is going to be successful if Saquon Barkley's successful.
I agree with every single word you just said. I think they stretched too far for Daniel Jones. I think, you know, I do think when you look at where they come from, right, the GM and the coach come from Buffalo. They never paid a running back there. They use different guys. I don't think they're that comfortable with the idea of committing whatever, 12, 13 million a year to Saquon Barkley. I just don't think they feel. Now, they may recognize he's a special player, and in this case, we need to do it because of his importance to Daniel Jones, et cetera. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily excited about doing it, right? So, yeah, I think if they had franchised Daniel and focused on signing Saquon, then they might have been able to sign him by now. But that also may have been for a number that they just don't think they should have to pay a running back.
Great to see you. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Dan Graziano, ESPN National NFL Insider. He'll be hosting NFL Live today at 4 Eastern. We'll take a break. David Cohn at the top of the hour. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fine. All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Final hour in this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Come on in, stay a while. Talk some football last hour. Talk some baseball this hour. David Cone, five-time World Series champ, and he's an analyst for the Yankees after the no-hitter last night by the Yankees. Domingo Herman, a perfect game against the Oakland A's. Poll question for the final hour is going to be what, Seton O'Connor? By the way, we got a source telling us that Victor Wembanyama's official height without shoes on is 7'3.5". Don't know if you were waiting for that, but I would round up. I'd round up to 7'4". I'm more interested in how much he weighs, not how tall he is. All right, Seton, final hour. What do we have?
Well, we've got still from the first hour, perfect game is more skill or luck. Right now it's 64% saying luck.
Okay.
Which is really interesting.
Well, I asked David Cone that because he threw a perfect game. How much is luck and how much is skill?
It feels like it's exactly backwards. It's got to be at least 70% skill and then some luck.
I would say it's, well, you know what? I'm not going to give my number yet. I'm going to bring in David Cone, ask him since he threw a perfect game. David, thanks for joining us. If we were going to go the percentage of skill and luck in throwing a perfect game, what would you say that percentage would be?
Well, it's an interesting point because not every pitch thrown in a perfect game is a perfect pitch. So when you do make a mistake, the hitters have to cooperate, right, and miss it or pop it up. And certainly there were a few of those last night for Domingo Herman. But I will say this, there's much more stress in a perfect game. Every time you get to a three-ball count, you know you can blow it with a walk. Whereas, you know, if you walk somebody in a no-hitter, you still have the no-hitter. So we've seen no hitters thrown with 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 walks sometimes. But that's different in a perfect game, much more pressure. So I would say the skill is more important in a perfect game because of the pressure than a no hitter where you have margin for error if you walk a guy.
I'm wondering more pressure is felt by the pitcher in a perfect game or his teammates in a perfect game?
That's a great question, Dan. I know I watched David Wells throw his perfect game the year before mine. We went back-to-back years, 1998, 1999, and I was a wreck watching his perfect game in the dugout. I mean, I was just a nervous wreck. And when you're actually participating, when you're the pitcher in a perfect game, you are just desperate to maintain your focus. Nobody wants to talk to you. You're anxiety ridden when you're the pitcher in that game. So maintaining your emotions is a full-time job. Whereas actually watching it, you allow all those negative thoughts to creep into your mind. You know, what if he blows it? What if something happens? You know, you have more time to think if you're actually watching it.
As a pitcher, when you take the mound, is your goal to throw a perfect game every time you take the mound? I mean, do you have to have that mindset when you go out there?
Well, yeah, I think your goal is to win every pitch. Your goal is to not walk anybody. Your goal is to consistently get ahead in the count, to maintain count leverage. So, yeah, in that sense, I guess, you know, you certainly want to win every at-bat. You want to get everybody out that you can. And then when you do give up hits, you know, you kind of brush it off because that's to be expected. But, yeah, your mentality is sort of going in, strike one, I'm going to get this guy out, I'm going to get ahead of him, and then get him out and stay on top of the hitters all day long.
What do you remember about your perfect game? It came against the Montreal Expos. Who was in the lineup that day that you worried about?
Well, Vladimir Guerrero was in that lineup, a Hall of Famer. Jose Vidro, a really good player, an all-star second baseman, was in that lineup. So those guys, those two really worried me more than anything. And Vladimir Guerrero presented an interesting problem because he could hit everything. He was the best bad ball hitter since Yogi Berra. You know, Yogi could hit everything over his head, you know, almost one hop it. We saw Vladimir Guerrero get a hit when the ball actually bounced one time. So no matter what, you know, which pitch I threw, he was the guy I worried about because he could hit anything.
Did you use sticky stuff back then?
Not a lot, really. Occasionally on a cool night, I would grab the rosin bag that was in the batter's box circle because it had a little pine tar on it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you could say, yeah, I did at times use a little bit of pine tar with rosin mixed on a cold night, but we didn't realize how much it could help your spin rate. We didn't know anything about spin rates back then, or if we did, we didn't know how to measure them. So certainly I was worried about blisters too. If you use too much stickum, is that going to rip the pads off my fingers? I was more worried about, worried about messing up my fingertips and getting blisters than anything else with sticky stuff.
I'm wondering why baseball doesn't come out with their own products, that these are the only products you can use, and that's it. This is going to be approved by hitters. This will be approved by pitchers. And anything after that, you're going to face a really long suspension.
Yeah, I think Major League Baseball feels like they kind of have done that with just the rosin bags that are on the mound itself. And that's what they're policing this year. You can't have your own rosin bag in your locker. You can only use the one on the mound. You can't weaponize the rosin. If it gets too sticky, we're going to bang you for that too. The problem with Major League Baseball is they're obsessed with strikeout rates. The strikeout rates are so high in the game today that if they present a new product or a sticky baseball like the one they have in Japan, a pre-treated baseball, that the pitchers are going to take advantage of that and increase the strikeout rates. So I think that's why Major League Baseball is reluctant to do exactly what you said, Dan, and sort of come up with a universal product that works. They're worried about pitchers weaponizing whatever they introduce into the game and increasing the strikeout rates.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that because there's no shame in striking out anymore. You know, it's not a big deal. It used to be, it was like, you know, hitters would hang their heads as they walked back to the dugout. When did it change that it's not an embarrassment to strike out 150 times?
Yeah, it's sort of a perfect storm of things. You know, I think the underrated facet is the strike zone itself. Back in the 90s and 80s, it was more of an east and west strike zone. And if you threw a pitch right down the middle and the catcher caught it at his mask, that was an automatic ball. Much less high curve balls that were up that way that are called strikes nowadays. So it's more of a north and south strike zone. We don't get those pitches off the edges like we used to. I mean, Greg Maddux and John Smoltz and Tom Glavine and myself, we all lived off the edge of thigh high off the outside corner. That was where the margin was. We got pitches called off the plate strikes, but we never got the high strike called. So that's the difference. The power, pitchers are throwing harder than ever before. The strike zone is higher than it's ever been before. Really, you have to go back to Jim Palmer, back with the outside chest protectors. Remember the bubble chest protectors?
Yeah.
Lee Wire, those old umpires. That was a higher strike zone back then in the 60s and 70s. But pitchers didn't throw as hard as they do nowadays. So every reliever throws 95 miles an hour plus, a lot of them 100 miles an hour. That coupled with a high strike zone has led to a higher strikeout rate, along with hitters trying to drive the ball. The power is premium. Power hitting, power pitching equals more strikeouts.
Talking to David Cone, the Yes Yankee analyst, joining us on the program. You were a Yankee. You were a Met. If you were a Met fan, can you say, let's be patient? If, you know, Steve Cohen said, hey, I'm not going to act like you want me to. I'm not firing anybody. We're not doing anything crazy here. How do you preach patience with a team that's got a payroll as large as the Mets?
Really hard to do right now. You know, the Atlanta Braves are a juggernaut running away with the East. You're 8.5 games out of the final wild card spot if you're the Mets right now. So if you're looking at the very final wild card spot, like the Philadelphia Phillies did last year and rode all the way to the World Series, they won 86 games and still got to the World Series. That's a long shot for the Mets right now. They have, according to, you know, betting odds or predictive odds that are out there, like less than a 5% chance right now just to make the playoffs. So that is in and of itself daunting. They really need to look at this trade deadline as sort of reconfiguring their roster, in my opinion. Sort of what pieces don't fit together, what pieces are kind of aging. They have some pretty good young players that have come up and helped, whether it's Brett Beatty at third base or Alvarez at the catching position. They have a couple of others that are on the way as well. That's the future for them. They sort of need to reconfigure their roster. They probably need to look for trade partners. I wouldn't be surprised to see even the Yankees and the Mets hook up in this trade deadline, because Billy Epler used to work for Brian Cashman. Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, doesn't care where the trades come from. He doesn't have this sort of mentality, this anti-Yankee mentality. He's a businessman. So the days of the Wilpons owning the Mets and not trading with the Yankees are kind of over in my mind. So there could be a match there. If the Yankees need an outfielder, do they match up with somebody like a Starling Marte or something like that? You know, I think those are the type of deals the Mets need to look for at this trade deadline.
I'm wondering if 15 years from now, we look back on Shohei Ohtani and what he kind of birthed, that you will have these two-way players. That, you know, in high school, your shortstop is your pitcher and usually batting third in the lineup there. And I don't know if you were like that, but it feels like these guys grow up being hitters and being pitchers. Are we going to have, not a wave, but at least a few of these two-way players in Major League Baseball?
It's a great question, Dan. I think, yes, I think Shohei Ohtani is inspirational in that regard. He's a trailblazer. He's showing the way. And there's certainly, we saw kids in the College World Series this year that are two-way players that are throwing the ball in the upper 90s. You know, the left-hander for Florida that started that final game is one of those kids as well. So yes, my answer is yes. We're going to see kids that try to do it, organizations that will bring them along in the minor leagues and kind of experiment with it and allow them to explore whether they can handle both or not. But why not? You know, Shohei Ohtani's the MVP because he plays such an important role on their team on both sides of the ball. So why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want that double value if you can develop that in your own system?
Should he get two salaries?
Interesting. Well, you know, what he should get is probably equity in the team that signs him, you know, at this point. I mean, if you're trying to sign Shohei Ohtani and you're the Anaheim Angels, you know, how do you entice him?
What would you do at the trade deadline? If they haven't agreed to anything, contract extension, not much has been made public here, but at some point the Angels have to have something in return if Shohei doesn't want to stay.
Yes, I believe that they need him to stay so badly that they need to hold on to him and hope they get into the playoffs and hope he becomes a postseason hero for them, at least get them in a position to win a wild card spot in the West, which they currently are very much in the running for. So, yes, you let that play out because your best chance to sign Shohei Ohtani back is a long and deep postseason run with him and Mike Trout that kind of shows him, hey, you should stay right here. We're on the right move here. We're moving in the right direction. So, yeah, with that being said, there might be a blockbuster trade out there, Dan. You're right. I mean, you have to listen. You have to listen. If there's a blockbuster trade where you can really get an incredible value back, then you have to consider it. But I still believe they want to keep him, and the best way to keep him is to get to postseason and show him what it's like to have postseason ball at the Big A.
Great to talk to you as always, David. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Dan. Anytime.
It's David Cone, 5-time World Series champ, and he's an analyst for the Yankees Yes Network. He threw his perfect game at Yankee Stadium against the Expos and back in 1999. Ellen in Wisconsin leads us off this hour. Good morning, Ellen. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say what a great topic. Baseball gets a bad rap, you know, but the mental toughness and concentration that it requires is often overlooked. I'm a bigger sports fan than my husband. I raise my kids telling them everything you need to learn about life you learn in baseball. Sometimes you have to sacrifice for the team. You know, the shortstop might hate the second baseman, but they still have to work together to turn a double play. And even when greatness happens, you know, when a pitcher throws a no-hitter, he turns around and thanks his fielders. So that's all I got.
All right. Well, thank you, Ellen. Thank you, Ellen. Yeah, you learn life through baseball. Jeremy in Indianapolis. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Great.
Awesome. Hey, I just was listening to the podcast from yesterday's show, and you guys were talking about Shohei Ohtani, and with the trade deadline coming up, I was just kind of thinking, would it incentivize the Angels to try to convince him to just focus on hitting? I mean, I would think he could make a run at 73 at Barry Bonds, and that would be, well, worth paying him, you know, the $600 million contract.
Well, he's focused on hitting, and he's focused on pitching. And if I'm the Angels, I want Shohei to do what he wants to do. It's not like he's missing batting practice, therefore he's not putting in the time when he goes to the plate. You know, judging from those home runs, he's done pretty well. I wouldn't mess with anything here. I go back to what I said yesterday. You know, we have this species known as pitchers, and we treat them differently than any other athlete in any other sport. It's like, oh, my God, did you get your long toss in today? Did you get your stretching in today? And when you think about it, Shohei Ohtani is showing that, hey, I can still do this. You know, I can have a regular day. His day job is a hitter. His weekend job is a pitcher. So one day out of the week, I got to concentrate on pitching. The other days, I'm a baseball player. You know, you go through the routine. You know, it's going to be infield practice. There's going to be batting practice. There'll be stretching, running, you know, all those things. But for the most part, you should be able to do both. If you're really good at a high level, you're a great pitcher and a great hitter, then why do you have to choose if you're able to do it? Plus, he could be changing the dynamic of the sport. Because, trust me, most of your great pitchers are also shortstops growing up and batting third in the lineup. They grew up being hitters. No, nobody grows up to say, hey, I just want to pitch. I don't want to hit. You grow up, you want to hit. And you're going to have the best arm. You're the shortstop, and you're going to be the pitcher. Shohei Ohtani is proving that you can do both and do both at a very high level. How many players can do that? I think in 15 years from now, we'll look back on this moment and we'll say, wow, look at the number of players. You might have a second baseman who's a middle relief pitcher or capable of doing that. Bring him in for an inning. Maybe, and pitchers are only going five innings for the most part. That's a quality start. You're not asking them to go nine. Go five. Maybe go six. Oh my God, he went six. How many pitches? You could still be a hitter, everyday hitter, and you could be a pitcher. And what it does, you know, the excitement that it brings when you go out, oh, he's going to pitch and hit. It's pretty cool.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.